The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, August 5th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Yes, I am your man, Jacob Goins, back in the studio, back in town. I got my much-needed, some would say deserved, but I don't know. I definitely needed vacation that I was on Thursday and Friday, and I feel good. I'm relaxed, I'm refreshed, and I'm ready to go and get ramped up for another college football, high school football, and just athletic seasons from right now, basically through the month of May and into the summer because of college and high school baseball as well. And so I am feeling good, and I'm glad to be back. Happy to be back. And shout out to the combination of guys who were able to keep the show on the air last Thursday, Friday, between Christian Griffin, Jack Hutton, and Uncle T. Those three made it happen on Thursday and Friday. And speaking of Uncle T-Bone, he is your favorite crazy, wild uncle who you just never know what he's going to say. Back in the studio on this Monday. My man, it is great to see you.
Oh, great to be seen. Great to see you, too. Welcome home. Give us a ring, 334-321-1390 here at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. Or you can always text us at 334-784-1067. Jacob, did you get any weird text on Friday while the show was going on? Because we said fire away to the and we're just wondering when Christian and I were here if anyone texted you saying if we were doing a good job or not. So we had a great show.
I'm going to be really honest. I turned off basically every notification possible on my phone for the last couple of days because I'm one of those people that if I don't, I'll continue to read emails or read texts and work and things like that. And so if they did, I'm going to be honest, I didn't see it. I did get to listen in, however, a few times here and there just to make sure that everything was going okay. Since it is my show, I want to make sure things were fine. And I trusted you guys, and you all did a fantastic job, man. Jack and Christian on Thursday, you and Christian on Friday. You guys had great topics, great callers, great engagement. It was awesome, and so I really do appreciate you guys filling in on that. And I appreciate you, the listener, continuing to tune into this show each and every day. And I don't see myself going anywhere for the near future because it's football season. We're here. We're in August, and we are 26 days away from the start of Auburn University football. Fall practice is underway even sooner than that. For high school football, we are less than 3 weeks away. Don't tell me that because it stresses me out. We got a lot to do between now and then, but very excited to get that going as well. And so that leads us into what we've got on tap for you today. All right, Auburn football, they did it again this weekend. They got another big-time recruit from the state of Alabama, one that we were waiting on, we were almost expecting, and then it finally happened. So we'll talk about that today. Plus, we got some Auburn basketball news, more scheduling news for Bruce Pearl and the Tigers. It was one of those poorly kept secrets, but it's officially official, so we'll talk about that today. ESPN has an article about Auburn that's calling them out, but they may not be all that wrong. And then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will be with us in hour number two. Uncle T-Bone told you, but I'll tell you again, give us a call at 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us on the phone. You can talk to us over the air or just shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. Uncle T-Bone, Auburn gets him another one from the state of Alabama, added to that 2025 class, and it was one that, like I said, a lot of people were expecting it, but it's always nice to see it go official.
Yeah, Jared Smith, the 5-star on some sites, 4-star on the others, defensive end slash edge from Thompson High School. How about that, Jacob? I mean, a few years ago, Auburn University and previous staffs couldn't find Thompson High School on a map in Alabaster, Alabama. Now, going back to last year, 4 commits in a 2-year cycle. Just in another impressive commitment, you know, not signee. That's how can we stress this enough? It's not signing day, and there's a long ways to go. But on paper right now, Auburn recruiting is absolute fire. In-state, it's completely dominant, taking 8 out of the top 10 prospects in the state of Alabama. I don't think that's ever happened in my lifetime. Trending and tracking towards possibly picking up a 9th if they can get Naheem Alford to flip, the number one player in the state and current Ohio State commitment, defensive back out of, I believe, Birmingham. And it's just refreshing to see Auburn, this coaching staff, just completely work its tail off, positioning itself to be the go-to for relationships in the state of Alabama for when Nick Saban retired. And unfortunately for Alabama folks, he retired, I think, a little bit sooner than most people thought, and Auburn has swooped in. Doesn't mean that it's going to stay like this, but if you look into 2026, there are already 3 big-time commitments out of the state of Alabama, and they're in on every single player in the state of Alabama that's worth being in on next year.
Mm-hmm.
You got to tip your hat to Hugh Freeze and staff making a commitment to say, you know what, we're going to try and take back the state first, or just take it back and build our roster and rebuild our program on Alabama guys and folks close to home. And they're doing a fantastic job doing it. You know, the debate is and was last week while you were gone, really towards the end of last week, who's doing it better, which one's more sustainable, what Alabama's doing recruiting or what Auburn's doing recruiting. And I think that it's hard to judge who's doing it better in a totality situation. And only time will tell what's sustainable and what's not. But the fact of the matter is, in-state, Auburn's doing it way, way better than Alabama and way better than a lot of other schools not named Ohio State. And in the past, a lot of these kids, if they didn't go to Nick Saban in the Tide, they ended up at Clemson. They ended up at Georgia. They ended up at LSU. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, a contributor and friend to ESPN 106.7, will be on the show with Bill and Dan after us, writes a fantastic article over there. I highly recommend you go read it about some numbers that were shocking to read during what I call the Saban years. Mm-hmm. He stuck a fork in Auburn recruiting in-state and feasted off this state until he didn't have to any longer, and it was just taken for granted that the top talent would go to him in Alabama. I got news for everybody. Those days, for now, are over.
And Auburn is doing everything that they're supposed to do. Hugh Freeze is doing everything that I wanted him to do in this transition period. That's what I've continued to call this, is a transition period, because it was a change in leadership at Auburn when Hugh Freeze was hired. And then shortly thereafter, right, Nick Saban calls it quits. And it was a mad scramble for Alabama to figure out, okay, who's the next head coach going to be? How do we find the next Nick Saban? Because that's what they're trying to do. And they are trying to find the next great head coach. And
they might find the next great head coach, but I don't think you can find the next Nick Saban.
And I don't think it's possible, because I don't think recruiting is sustainable, or you're not able to get to that level and do it like that anymore. I don't care who you are or what program you're at. It's not going to be doable.
Not with NIL and the transfer portal.
Exactly. And so Auburn is having to not recreate the wheel, but with a lot of other programs and head coaches, they're having to relearn how to recruit in this new era. And good news is Hugh Freeze is really good at it, and he's figured out ways to win the state over once again. And I heard a little bit of what you and Christian were talking about on Friday, and I'll say this. You compare what Auburn's doing by taking almost every top player in the state of Alabama, because they're continuing to do that, and I don't think they're done. compared to what Alabama has done, where it's, all right, let's go get this kid from Washington or California or North Carolina or whatever. And it's not that those states don't have good players. But you talk about sustainability, and year over year, Uncle T-Bone, I'm putting my chips on the state of Alabama in terms of talent over a state not named Alabama. And I mean, we've ranked our states before, right? You've got the handful of Texas and Bama and Florida, and I think Georgia's in there too. I mean, you're talking some serious high school talent in these states. But if there's a system, if there's a game plan that I want my team to follow for the next 5 years, it's the one that Auburn and Hugh Freeze are doing right now in 24, 25, and 26 by winning the South, winning the state of Alabama, versus just going to get any four or five star we could get our hands on outside of the Southeast. And I don't care what anybody says. If you asked anybody behind closed doors, sworn to secrecy, if they're from this area, they'll tell you the same thing. And I think that Alabama is trying to find a way to overcome the ground that they've already lost here. And they've lost ground. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. You've lost ground in this state because of what Auburn is doing in 25 and beyond.
Hugh Freeze was hired at Auburn on November 29th of 2022. Kalen DeBoer was hired at Alabama of January 12th, 2024. The cold, hard fact is he has not had the time to go out and make the relationships. Although he's got plenty of people on his staff. And I do believe, like Freddie Roach, who have relationships in Alabama. And I do believe it should be a little bit easier for Alabama to recruit in-state with all the success they have had. But I just think that you're seeing this massive void, like this hurricane that's moving through Florida and sucking up all the oxygen and air and moisture with it out of the state. You saw this Hurricane Saban leave college football, and he sucked up all the oxygen out of the rooms, and there's this huge void. Kalen DeBoer just hadn't quite had enough time to get in there and fill that void relationship-wise. And the disadvantage for him is the schedule, right? That's after signing day.
Mm-hmm.
You got spring practice right around the corner. You had to help. He had to recruit his own roster harder after Nick Saban left than anybody recruits in high school during that time, because National Signing Day is in December, and they had a migration,
yeah,
of herd mass off their roster. You got to stop the bleeding. There's only so many hours in the day. I'm sure he works very hard. He wouldn't have that job at Alabama. So while he hasn't had enough time to make relationships here, what would you do if you were him? Would you have gone full bore and not utilize the relationships you have in other areas of the country to try and stabilize and get your recruiting well? Or would you be out there beating your head up against a wall with a staff that's had a two-year head start on you making relationships? There will be time, sooner than later, he better get out there and start making those relationships. But I don't think he's had the time to do it. It's been a big disadvantage. He went to his little honey holes where they had relationships already and got some really great talent. But I'm going to tell you right now, you said it, behind closed doors, I promise you there's people on the other side of the state who are very concerned with what Auburn's doing.
And you put yourself in DeBoer's shoes, right? You step in to a program that's been so successful over the last 15 years, and while Alabama still carries a lot of weight in the football program and the logo and the name and all of
absolutely
that, it still carries weight. You're not Nick Saban. And so you automatically lost, what, 70% of the ground that he created, of the separation that Nick Saban created? What, I'd say 70% of that walked out the door with Saban, 70, 75%. And so if you're DeBoer, it's like, okay, do we completely get rid of everything that we know and dive into the Alabama mindset and just try to win the South? Or do we do what we know, and this is what you were just saying, do what we know, bring in some guys, let's at least kind of you know, stop the bleeding a little bit, if you will, and then we'll build on it. Let's just get started. Let's get going. Let's get something in here, and then we'll start to rebuild those relationships in the South. But what's crazy is Hugh Freeze took advantage of that, and what if it's too late for them? What if it's too late for them to rekindle those relationships and reintroduce themselves and remind people who Alabama is? What if in just that short amount of time, with the success that Auburn and Hugh Freeze have had, Kalen DeBoer already missed that window?
It'll be too late if, and this was a discussion that Doug Amos and I had on his show on the Max Roundtable, 11 to 2 here at 106.7 weekdays, which coach needs a bigger year? And after last season, you'd be like, probably Hugh Freeze, because the season ended on a sour note, and we really need to, you know, get going with these recruits and prove that we can fulfill the dream that we're selling, right? This why not Auburn dream? Why not make Auburn great again dream, right? And then we got to thinking about it in the discussion, and it's like, well, what if Kalen DeBoer has a bad year at Alabama?
Because, not even a bad, just a mediocre.
Because, well, with a bad year at Alabama and that fan base's mind is three losses and not making the playoffs. I mean, that's a heck of a standard, but it's legit. It's been established.
Sure.
So he has to find ways to be successful immediately. I think he chose the path of least resistance on paper recruiting-wise. They have the number two ranked class in the country, by the way, which is pretty dang good. A lot of them are saying they wouldn't trade their class for anybody's, including ours, but a lot of Auburn people are saying, good, keep your class. You do you, we'll do us. So, but what if he doesn't, because he's doing it different. That's a fact. He's doing it way different. There's already
very different.
And who could do it exactly like Saban? Who could?
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody could do it like Saban, man.
Right.
So he's taking the path of least resistance to try and get the maximum results he can immediately to calm everybody down and say, I got this. Don't worry. Nick's gone, but I'm here. It's going to be okay. So
yeah,
it's not too late by any means because he's doing it his way. But if they pop off and lose three losses here and that fan base goes bananas on the airwaves, it could be too late by the end of the season.
Because what's crazy, before we get to break, Hugh Freeze actually had a little buffer. Hugh Freeze had a few years and still has a few years. I mean, we're talking about year two that he's heading into. He had, when he was hired, that three-year window that most coaches receive, which is insane that it's down to three, but it is now. He was given that 3 years of, all right, you've got 3 years to make it happen. Show us something. I don't think Kalen DeBoer has that.
Oh, my! If Hugh Freeze had showed up as Nick Saban's replacement, there would be the same standard.
Which is why I think DeBoer's got maybe the hardest first-year gig that there is, which that goes without saying with Alabama, but still.
It's a tough task for sure.
334-321-1390. We want to hear from you on this Monday afternoon. You can text us as well, 334-784-1067. Best and worst from the weekend in sports. We'll have that for you when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Jacob. T-Bone, how y'all doing today?
We are doing good, man. What's on your mind?
If Auburn is dominating the state, and they are, what is making Alabama's class rank so high nationally?
I mean,
they dominate in Florida, or I mean,
they have six out of their 20, I believe, 20 commitments now are from California. I'd have to do a little bit deeper dive into their class. Some sites, there's a couple of 5-star guys. The quarterback that was committed to SMU for a long time and then flipped Alabama, apparently had a really good spring and got a lot of love on a few websites. Some people say a little bit too much love, a.k.a. the Bama bump, where he was thrusted from a 3-star to a 5-star, I believe, over at 247.
Well, listen to all these states that are on Alabama's commit list here. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Texas, Mississippi, California, Georgia, Ohio, Kansas, Alabama, Florida, what is that, 7 or 8 now? Looking New Jersey, So there's 8 or 9 different states that are represented on their current recruiting class for 2025. That's something.
You got a little bit of southern flavor in there with Mississippi and Georgia.
Yeah,
Texas,
there is.
But,
yeah.
No, but.
Did we lose you, Terry? Maybe we did.
I believe we just lost Terry.
Yeah, I think we did. Terry, if you get on or hear us, you can call back in. And I don't know exactly where he was going, but he was asking why their recruiting class, Alabama's, is so high. I mean, it's a number 2 ranked class in the country.
Yeah, there's plenty of good players on here. I mean, Auburn, this Darryl Duke Johnson, linebacker out of Eastman, Georgia, 4-star over at Rival, 6'3", 210. Auburn was all over him.
Caleb Cunningham, the receiver from Mississippi.
Caleb Cunningham, obviously.
Yep.
I'm still not sure that his recruitment's over by a lot of schools, by the way. And that can go for any of the top players, but Caleb Cunningham will be in play by the end of this season. I can promise you that. You know, there's some other – what's shocking – I think to everybody is know that, you know, listen, Nick Saban rebuilt the roster at Alabama by dominating the state of Alabama for the first 3-4 years, and then was able to kind of cherry pick the top talent he wanted in state and pivoted to recruiting the type of player he was looking for anywhere nationwide. And he could be in any of those conversations in any living room on any given night during recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Caleb DeBoer is obviously building on that, at least according to Alabama fans, that, well, we don't have to just recruit regionally anymore. Uncle T-Bone, we can recruit nationwide, which is true. Good for you. Great. But I think a lot of these commitments are in heavy places where DeBoer has recruited before, that his director of operations, I can't remember his name, has a lot of relationships in, who came along with him from Washington, and some of the other staff has.
Mm-hmm.
But you're telling me that in any year that Auburn's going to get 8 of the top 10 players in the state of Alabama, and the 3 that are committed to Alabama currently, we're barely recruited by Auburn. You're telling me that there's not something a little bit odd or different about that, and that you're okay with that? Heck no, you're not okay with it. There are no excuses. You can't be like, oh, the class in Alabama this year is not that. Well, Auburn's already trending towards cleaning up next year too.
Well, they made up ground in 24. They've dominated 25, and they're already out in front in 26. And again, year over year, take any 5-year window. I don't care if it's 2020 to 2025. I don't care if it's 2010 to 2015 or whatever. Take any 5-year period in the state of Alabama and compare it to any other state in the country, and it's still top 5. It's still one of the best states in high school recruiting. And so you can convince yourself and believe that 2025 is not all that great, which I don't agree with. I think it's down in quotations compared to some past classes that we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years that have been the best in the history of the state, okay? But it's still one of the best states in high school recruiting. And
is it down because all these players are committed to Auburn and not getting the so-called Bama bump?
I'll say this, too. You go back and look at a lot of those Nick Saban classes, and he did recruit outside of the state of Alabama. He did. He would go get players from Georgia and Louisiana and Texas and Iowa and get the random player out of Florida here and there. Like, he had good state representation in his class, but he also got the best out of this state. And then, he went to find the other ones. He didn't start outside and try to come back in. He started inside and worked his way back out. That's the difference right here. That's the difference in what Nick Saban did and what Kalen DeBoer has started doing.
Hey, I'd like to point something out about Auburn's class. I mean, all this talk about being in-state and being dominant, and that's wonderful. It's not like Alabama's the only state that Auburn recruits. I mean, there's 7 states that represent Auburn right now in their recruiting class, including Alabama.
There you go.
From Georgia to North Carolina to Tennessee to Oklahoma. So, I mean, Auburn's out there fighting some national battles and winning some of those as well. The whole point of this, I think, that has really people upset, or at least kind of scratching their head, is in the past, there's no way that the state's top talent would all go to Auburn. Even if they didn't go to Alabama, they were going somewhere else. Those days may be over.
And if the roles were reversed, Auburn would be getting bashed across this state like they did for a long time by Alabama fans and by Auburn fans. And it seems true. It seems to be turning around just a little bit. We're halfway through hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We still want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We got a whole lot more content coming up.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Appreciate you all being with us on this August 5th. Crazy that we are well into the month of August. And a reminder that Auburn University gets kicked off in 26 days. We've got thoughts on fall practice. We also have some basketball things to get to today as well. But we're going to get Terry back on here. He got disconnected in his last time. But Terry, you're on the air once again, my man.
Hey, let me finish my thought. You know why all of the great recruits in the state are going to Auburn and not Alabama? Because Alabama really doesn't want them. That's the argument I got into at a local watering hole Friday night.
Yeah, I don't think that I believe that.
Yeah, now tell me one about Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
I mean, if they didn't want Derek Smith and Antonio Coleman Jr., they wouldn't have been committed there. And you're telling me they don't want Naheem Alford, the number one player in the state, who's at Ohio State right now and committed to them? Okay.
Yeah, I think first of all, if that wasn't true, this was my argument. If that wasn't true, why do they have offers on the table from Alabama?
Yeah, exactly. That's what Tebow would say. Why are they offered and why are they committed if they don't want them?
Yeah, and I just never understood that. But, it's like the positive. Everything's going so positively. And Jacob, who was the guy that wanted Hugh Freeze so bad at Auburn?
I think his name was Terry. I can't quite remember, though.
And Tebow.
Just kidding, Jacob.
They're taking a whole lot of copium up there right now, Terry.
Sir?
Sounds like that the folks that you got in an argument with are taking a tremendous amount of copium at the moment.
Well, maybe they got their food a little too spicy Friday night. And they might have had one too many liquid encouragements, if you know what I mean.
Hey, that happens to the best of us sometimes. Terry, thanks so much, man.
Sure, appreciate it, guys.
Thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate you. 334-321-1390. I'll say this as before we move on. And it's a statement I've made so many times. I will never, ever, ever, ever understand the mindset of a fan base. Because you'll never hear a coach say this. It's always fans on social media, message boards, in comments, whatever, radio shows, podcasts, whatever. Oh, we didn't want him anyway. We didn't want him anyway.
This has been...
And it's not a new thing.
This has been your soapbox for a while.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, give yourself a break. You did. You missed out. And get over it. And guess what? That's not talking to any particular fan base. You know how many times Auburn's been on that side of it? For the last 15 years, how many times Auburn was on the wrong end of it?
We didn't want Reuben Foster. Or Rashawn Evans.
Yeah. Like,
or Julio Jones.
Come on.
Or the 15 out of 20 top players in the state that Alabama stuck a fork in us in Tuberville's last recruiting class in 2008. We didn't want any of them, Jacob. We got our guys. They've got character.
I put that on the same level as chanting overrated to a team that you just beat on your home floor. I put those two things on the same level of stupidity in my book. And so if that's you, sorry, man. You know how I feel about it. Let's move on, though. We got a lot more to get to on today's show. And want to flip over to basketball because there was some news that has come out that it's been known by quite a few people for quite some time. But it is official now. Auburn and Bruce Pearl and Auburn basketball have added, yes, another non-conference opponent to their schedule. They will be once again for, I believe, the fifth year in a row, they'll be playing in the Holiday Hoops Giving event over in Atlanta at the State Farm Arena, home of the Atlanta Hawks. And this time, they'll be playing the Ohio State Buckeyes. They've played some big-name teams over there the last handful of years, Uncle T-Bone. Last year was Indiana. They expected that to be a big game for them. They expected it to be a resume-building win, a tournament win. It wasn't, because Indiana ended up being terrible. And so
they
now
got a little bit better as the year went on.
I think they went on a little winning streak down there at the end. They missed the tournament,
NIT
though.
NIT team, right?
They declined, actually. They didn't play in that.
I don't blame them.
And so now they pick up the Buckeyes of Ohio State. And for those of you that maybe are not overly familiar with that Ohio State team, yes, historically, in the last handful of years, they have not been overly great, but they reloaded with the recruiting and with the transfer portal, as did Michigan. I think those are two really good teams out of the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah.
And Auburn adds Ohio State to their Holiday Hoops Giving, and it's without a doubt, 100%, Auburn has the toughest non-conference schedule on all of college basketball.
Didn't Ohio State can their head coach midway through last
year?
Yes,
they did.
Like, they almost had a borderline player revolt because they were so tired of them, and then all of a sudden went on like a 15-game winning streak and almost made the tournament. As a bubble team, and I think made a little run in the NIT, if I remember correctly. So that team, that team's going to be pretty solid. You look at the way too early top 25 over on ESPN.com for college basketball, and there are more than a handful of teams that Auburn will be facing this basketball season in this way too early top 25.
It's ridiculous what Auburn's going to have to do this
Alabama
year.
Alabama at 2, they could play UConn at 3, in Hawaii, Houston at 4, they're playing them. You keep on scrolling, Iowa State will be out in Hawaii, Auburn will be going to number 8, Duke. And then your Tigers, by the way, ranked 11th in this poll, which – at first, I was like, that's way too low. And then you look at all the teams and what they got coming back in front of Auburn. You could just jumble any of those teams up, and they could win the national title next season.
Sure.
Probably in this top 15. Texas A&M at 12, Tennessee at 13, Arkansas at 14. Auburn will see all of those teams. I think Arkansas is getting a little bit too much credit there. You know why. There's your Indiana Hoosiers, Jacob, ranked at 18th. I mean, just keep going. Ole Miss at 20, Florida at 21, Texas at 22. Goodness gracious, 23. The University of Kentucky. Look at the SEC. And who would have thought that in my lifetime, preseason basketball, Auburn would be doubly higher than the University of Kentucky?
Yeah, I mean, it's a new era of SEC basketball. And it was that way before Texas and Oklahoma showed up. And those are two really strong and competitive programs now in college basketball. And so, yeah, you take what Auburn's doing, not just in their conference schedule, which we don't fully know what that is yet. We know the opponents and the locations, but we don't know what the schedule looks like on top of, the toughest non-conference schedule in the country. And John Rothstein, who is one of the biggest basketball journalists and analysts in the country, says it's the toughest non-conference schedule Auburn has ever played in the history of the program, is the toughest non-conference schedule. And yeah, I would say so. I mean, look, I haven't been around the entire time Auburn basketball has existed, but I don't see how it gets harder than what they're doing. And I hate that a lot of these are not going to be played here in Auburn inside of Neville Arena, but it goes back to the point that I made, and Daryl and I have had this conversation before. You don't get credit for it. You don't get credit for beating these teams on your home floor. And so Bruce Pearl says, you know what? We're not going to do it. We'll go play neutral site. We'll go play on the road because we get more credit for doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if Houston came to town or Duke came to town, I think you'd get credit for beating them, especially if you beat them up pretty good. But I hear what you're saying. I just think it's a little bit kind of goes to show the nature of college basketball now and how these I don't want to say preseason, but, you know, that first third of the season, I like to break the season into thirds before conference play, and then post-conference play, right, postseason play.
Mm-hmm.
That before conference play, I mean, there's so many of these neutral site games and tournaments out there, you can't even keep up with them all. There used to just be the one out in Hawaii and the one in New York. It was kind of the preseason NIT. I mean, there's games all over the country now, Jacob.
Oh, it's awesome. Feast Week is my favorite. It's one of my favorite weeks of the college basketball season. It's right there around Thanksgiving, right? You're getting ready for a rivalry week in college football, of course, the Iron Bowl and things like that. But you have all of the big college basketball tournaments.
Well, to the fact that both Auburn and Alabama are not only invitees to all of these games, but key cogs in marquee programs in these type Feast Week tournaments, really goes to show what the two coaches in the state of Alabama have done with their programs and how far they've come.
Yeah, I mean, these are no longer, it's not like the Kansases of the world get invited to a Maui Invitational and they're like, oh, Auburn's there. Cool. Got it. Got to win. That's not the case anymore. It's not, they're not, right. Auburn's not looped in. And Alabama, same way, right? They're not,
sure.
A, like you said, they're getting invited, but B, they're not just gimme look over teams. These are some of the premier attendees of these events. And, you know, you look at comparing what Auburn is doing versus what Alabama's doing in 24 and 25 of their non-conference schedule, which, don't overlook their non-conference schedule. It's really, really good, too, if you haven't seen what Alabama is doing. They are at Purdue. They play Illinois in Birmingham. They're playing Houston out in Las Vegas. They're also playing Notre Dame and Rutgers in a combination out there in Vegas as well in that big tournament that's happening out there. They're playing at North Carolina for the ACC-SEC Challenge. Creighton's on that schedule, too. Like, Alabama's is no joke. And
no question.
You know, I know Doug talks about this all the time, but you're looking at two of the best programs, Auburn and Alabama, Alabama and Auburn, however you want to rank them, in the entire SEC. And they're flirting with being two of the best teams in the entire country.
Well, these type of matchups and schedules and preseason rankings are indicative of the hard work that both of those programs have put in over the past 5 years. What is it? Is it the last 5 years in the SEC that one of those two programs won the regular season or post-conference tournament?
It's unbelievable.
For the SEC? I mean, that's remarkable when you've got Kentucky, one of the truest, bluest of blue bloods, in college basketball in your conference, and not to mention all the other great teams from Texas A&M, Tennessee, Florida. Guy, you got to watch that Florida program. They're just going to keep rising up. And then with Calipari and Arkansas, you know at least their talent's going to get better. I mean, then you add in Texas and Oklahoma to the conference. I mean, everyone's tired of hearing about those coming in, but how hard it's going to make it in every sport. But it's true, and basketball's going to be even tougher in the SEC because of it as well.
You look at the Holiday Hoops Giving that'll be taking place in Atlanta over at State Farm Arena. That'll be on December 14th. Believe that's a Saturday. It has been in the past. I will double-check on that just to make sure it is. That's the second Saturday in December. Auburn and Ohio State, not the only two teams that'll be playing. Florida and Arizona State will be playing, which I think is pretty cool. That's an interesting, different type of matchup. And then Georgia will also be over there. They'll be playing Grand Canyon. So maybe not as exciting in that game, but Georgia gets a non-conference game, and then Florida playing Arizona State and Auburn playing Ohio State. And just so many great non-conference games now that Auburn is going to be playing. It truly is something that Bruce Pearl wanted to do and has sought after it and made it happen. And in terms of the excitement level, Uncle T-Bone, and we can open this up to the listeners as well, is there a particular matchup that you're looking forward to the most in Auburn's
Duke
non-conference schedule?
Yeah, it's not even a question.
The Duke game on the road?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. When they scheduled that initially, I mistakenly said that we had never played them. Apparently, we played them, I think, in the late 70s a couple of times. That was a little before my time, a little before Uncle T-Bone broke out on the local circuit.
That was a little before my time, too.
Yeah, that was a way more just a little before. That was before cell phones, okay?
Man, what a horrible
time.
That
was before cable TV.
That's where radio was king, baby.
I was like, finally, we're going to play the Dukies. And no, but finally we'll get to play them in the modern era of basketball, especially in Cameron Indoor, which I know several Auburn fans who are trying their dangdest to already start working how to get tickets to that. The Auburn people are going to go crazy. That will be a super hard sell. That might be even the type of game that even if you don't have a ticket, you just go up there just to be part of the
just to be
scene.
In town, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's I mean, look, there's a lot of great teams on there. Houston, I think we owe them one, and I'd love for Coach Pearl to that be the message that game week. We owe them one. We got some unfinished business, but without question, it's Duke. I mean, that's the pinnacle to me in my lifetime of college basketball.
For me, I'm going to pick either Houston or Purdue just because, A, to be different, but B, from a good test standpoint, and Duke's going to be phenomenal. They are, and Auburn's going to learn a lot about themselves in that Duke game because it is on the road, but that Purdue matchup is so intriguing to me because I think they're going to match up extremely well with what Auburn tries to do. They're going to have size, they're going to have great guards, and they're going to be a very disciplined team. You're talking about Purdue, who makes consistent runs to the Final Four. Like, I mean, that's what you're talking about here, a team that's been on the verge of winning national titles forever.
Yeah, and, I mean, a super well-coached team.
And I think they're a really, really good team. I think they'll be a step back from what they were a year ago because Zach Edey, but I think Purdue is going to be a really good test for Auburn. They will be a perfect matchup for this team, and that's the one that I am, other than the Duke game, of course, for a test standpoint, I think that's what I'm excited for Auburn is to play Purdue. So, I mean, you could close your eyes, put them on a dartboard and throw, and you'd pick a right answer. I mean, there's a lot of them, and then the Maui Invitational that Auburn's going to be a part of. I mean, that's just – I mean, there's just so many different ones that.
Yeah, I mean, if they draw UConn in that could change a little bit. That's defending national champion.
Yeah, and that's a UConn team that has every bit of manpower to go a three-peat this year.
Yeah, they're going
to
reload, and I've said it before. I mean, there's a reason why the Lakers wanted him. I mean, Danny Hurley. I mean, what is he the probably the best coach in all of basketball right now?
Ain't no doubt about it.
I'd
Ain't
take
no
him just
doubt
about
over
it. Anybody if I could.
I'm with you on that. Well, let's get to our final break. We'll come back. There's an interesting story that Uncle T-Bone wants to talk about with another coach around college football. We'll wrap up hour number one with that and get into hour number two. Stick around here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, we got a few more minutes here in hour number one, and I'm going to hand it off to our crazy Uncle T-Bone. You found an article that you wanted to hit on. We got about 4 minutes, so go ahead, my man. I'll let you take over.
I'm going to take everybody down memory lane a few years ago when there were ignorant Auburn fans. I'm just going to put it like that. That thought it would be a good idea to hire Deion Sanders as the head coach at Auburn in football.
Here we go.
And I knew from day one that was not going to be a good fit here at Auburn. And I really don't think it's going to be a good fit for just about anywhere, including Colorado, over the long term, because I just think Deion's all about Deion and not about the brand he reps. And you can say what you want about Nick Saban, but he repped that Bama brand hard and still does. And I think this article at AthlonSports.com, Deion Sanders, chaotic culture turns into locker room violence in Colorado. Coach Prime keeps it cool on the outside, but inside it seems to be boiling over. And you can check out this this article, and it just goes in depth of several nasty stories where a former player, Jacob, quote, "It's like a real life Grand Theft Auto video game. There are many distractions with fights, guns, and money floating around. The environment is unlike any I've come from before. Auburn fan, count your blessings. We didn't hire Prime Time."
That's some serious quotes to be lashing out about a head coach at a Power Four program. Reminder, Colorado is in the Big 12 again this year. They're back in the Big 12. And I think the initial hype, the initial shine has worn off on Deion, and I think it wore off real quick when they got humbled and started getting beat by teams that were just better than them. But you start hearing stuff like this, and that
there are
this is obvious, but that ain't good.
there are some nasty stories in here that rival what might have been the old U when Miami was rocking and rolling back in the 1980s and their players were wearing camouflage coming off the planes like they were invading someone. I mean, there's stories about settling up gambling debts, recruits making commitments on TikTok with pistols. One commit in recruit apparently basically kidnapped a young lady in Florida with gun. There's talk of coaches egging on fights.
Well, listen, yeah, there's two players that fought right here and was described as, quote, two bears scrapping for food.
Yeah, I just don't think that kind of
it's not sustainable.
Angst is not even close to sustainable. Could you imagine right now, Jacob, where we'd be if this article was breaking today at Athlon Sports/Auburn, and Hugh Freeze had taken over the University of Alabama job from Liberty and was cleaning up the state like he's doing for Auburn, and we had primetime. And I quote, after primetime son slapped an offensive lineman who'd had enough, had to be held back screaming, "I'm going to kill you." Could you imagine what the phone lines would be in Auburn, Alabama right now?
That's horrific, man.
Count your blessings, Tiger fans. If that was going on, Dion would be harsoned out of here. Pronto.
That's sad. That's sad to read. That's sad to hear.
It really is.
I'm going to be honest. That is just really, really
sad. There's no place for that in any football, especially college football, and especially on a college campus. What are you doing, Colorado?
Hour number one is in the books. Stick around. We'll have hour number two. More football breakdown. We'll do best and worst from the weekend. And then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will be with us as well. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. 334-321-1390.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast later on today. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Of course, you can listen to the show there live each and every day from 2 to 4. And you can also do that on our Radio Alabama app. So be sure that you have that downloaded on your phone. Again, just go to your App Store, Google Play, whatever. Just type in Radio Alabama and you'll find it right there. In hour number one, we talked some Auburn football recruiting as the Tigers picked up yet another 2025 commit over the weekend. Got a little basketball talk in there as well, and some other fun conversations. So that was all in hour number one. Here in hour number two, we have some more football things to talk about from fall practice. Also, ESPN has an article out that includes Auburn as an underachiever in the last handful of years. So I want to touch on that. And then Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network will be with us in about 30 minutes. And so until then, you can call in. You can be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the online the Line text box with your comments or questions there at 334-784-1067. Hour number two, each and every day during On the Line on ESPN from 3 to 4, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. And you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the second hour each and every day of our show. Uncle Tebow, ESPN has an article out. It's on ESPN Plus, so you got to pay for it, but I subscribe to it. I use it for the articles and the you know, watching things and whatever. And they've got an article out about this upcoming college football season, and it's talking about all these different teams and programs, and they put them kind of in tier lists, okay? They list them in all these different named tiers of should have done more, or, you know, in a good spot, or financially challenged, and things like that. They're just breaking down the different programs around college football. And Auburn was looped in with Tennessee in the on-notice tier. And here's what it says. It says, teams in this tier haven't quite reached full-fledged underachiever status, but they need to deliver better results soon with the expanded college football playoff. And Tennessee is in there, and Auburn is
it's
in there.
It's just Auburn and Tennessee?
That's it. Just Auburn and Tennessee. So not quite underachievers,
okay,
but they got to prove something right here and right now.
Is it just for conference teams or for the whole nation?
It's nationwide.
What are some of the other categories?
I was saying you've got should have done more, Ohio State, Florida State, and I think that's fair. Two programs that have been there but have not gotten over the hump in the last decade.
I would probably put Florida State in the I guess last year saved them from being in the possible underachiever. What else you got?
Financially challenged, Colorado, Georgia Tech, Cal, teams that could be good but just don't have the financial stability to make it happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams you could put in there.
You have teams that are, let's see, this tier is, there's some interesting teams in that one. What's that? Basketball or bust? You've got UCLA, North Carolina, Maryland, Arizona, Indiana. That's funny. I like that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's just about right. I think Maryland's getting a little bit better in football, though.
Biggest underachievers, Nebraska and Arkansas.
Whew. I mean, golly. I mean, there's some programs that have been way worse than them, but they have fallen off on hard times, both of those. I think Nebraska's on the swing up, but unfortunately for Arkansas, I think they've got a much tougher row to hoe.
I just don't know what they're going to do.
I think they're in real trouble.
I think they are, too.
That's the type of program that could just absolutely get buried in football with the expansion of the SEC, because they practically have been already for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to go back to 2010 and 11, the last time they were anywhere near relevant in college football. And then not to mention, they just brought in John Calipari, who's going to – they got a proud basketball tradition, and they're just basically pivoting towards basketball.
Their last conference championship in college football, do you know when it was?
I mean, I probably 1986.
You're close. 1989.
Yeah, in the Southwestern Conference.
Yep, that's right.
So it's been a long time since they've been good in football. I mean, in competitive to even push getting to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you'll see what I predicted with A&M last year when you bring in Bobby Petrino to be your offensive coordinator. You're not only bringing him in to try and stabilize your offense, you're setting this up to where if you've got to run the coach, you've got a high-quality intern coach to get you through the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, for my Arkansas buddies over in Fayetteville, I'm concerned for them.
I am too, because I don't have a problem with Arkansas football.
Arkansas has such a big problem with Auburn, but I just feel Auburn doesn't really care.
I don't understand why they would think that we're a rival of theirs. I mean, it's not been much of a rivalry.
But you're right, they're going to get buried.
They're just going to get thrown and stuffed in a locker and just left there for dead.
And I hate that. I hate that. I really, really do, because they have to find the right guy. They are. They've got to find the right guy right now, and they've got to find unbelievable NIL money.
What do you do, though? You're like Mississippi State had found the right guy in Coach Leach.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he passed way, way too early. And now they go out, and well, they get Jeff Lebby, who was very well thought of, Jacob, as an up-and-comer. And you talk about just getting thrown right into the fire pit. What do you do? You can go out and get a new up-and-comer.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not be an up-and-comer much longer after it's your program that's been buried.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. And if they have any sort of success, right, at a Mississippi State, even though that's a good program and a big-time conference, they're going to get picked off by somebody else, right?
That's right. That's
and exactly Arkansas right. is in the same boat, I feel like. I mean, that's why you have – I don't know, man. I am concerned about what the separation in this conference is going to look like because the bottom-tier teams are going to – I mean, they're going to be left for dead. You're right.
Arkansas swung and missed to get their guy in 2017.
Yeah.
And we swung and missed by keeping him in Gus Malzahn. He would have been about the only person at that time that could have probably salvaged that program. And we'd have been better off letting him go instead of giving him that big buyout. Because from that buyout day, that money he got, our program has gone straight downhill. Which leads me to why we are teetering on the edge of being an underachiever, and Auburn very well could be if Hugh Freeze and the staff doesn't get it right. They're getting it right on the recruiting trail, and that's very evident. That has to translate to the field, and it has to translate quickly. Auburn hasn't won an SEC championship since 2013, folks.
Mm-hmm.
That's way too long for this program, and it's not going to get anything but tougher.
Over a decade.
I mean, it might be harder to – it's going to be harder to win the SEC than it is to get in the college football playoff. That doesn't make any sense.
That's true. It is. That's extremely true.
The opportunity is there with what Coach Freeze –
because you don't have to win the SEC to get to the college football
playoff. That's right. You used to almost had to.
I mean, to get to – yeah, back in the day when you had to get to the BCS National Championship.
Very few teams have ever not gone to Atlanta and actually snuck into it, and that team's Alabama.
Exactly. And that was a jacked system anyway. Fun question, just for whatever. If Gus Malzahn leaves and goes to Arkansas in 2017, is he still the head coach going into 2024?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You think so? He'd still be the head coach at Arkansas?
Yeah, because I think that they'd have taken – they can tolerate the Kentucky approach.
Get right? eight.
Get eight.
Get eight, yeah.
Get eight, go down to the Outback Bowl,
Music City Bowl,
Iowa.
Yeah,
get you a W. Play Clemson occasionally, and you know, in the Gator Bowl, they could tolerate that. Who do you think would have been hired though? Had he been let go at that, or been let go to walk?
Oh man,
at Auburn, had
back
Stephen
in 2017.
Lee, I can tell you exactly who I think they would have gotten, and Arkansas would have paid us for him with that buyout.
I gotta dig in my brain for a second and remember who all the names were floating right. Because I mean, he
I'll
obviously
tell you exactly
didn't leave.
Who we would have gotten?
Who?
Mike Norvell.
Hmm.
From Memphis.
Yeah, that's the yeah. I remember
and,
that.
And,
yeah.
And there were very few people not named Uncle T that were jumping up and down, calling Bill and Dan's show, saying, let him go. Bye. You don't – and I hate to go down the negative memory hole here, Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
But how in the world do you let a coach come to you midway week of SEC championship week, and instead of him coaching and preparing to play Georgia and get you into the national championship playoffs – you start letting him dictate the terms of a new contract when he's already getting paid a pile of money just because you beat Georgia and Alabama in one season since 2013. How in the world do you not tell him to go pound sand? We'll talk to you after the season.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to go? Bye.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And what's crazy, too.
How do you allow that?
Is that 2017 season was a really good year. That was a really fun year. I mean that's
you
one of the best Auburn seasons in the last decade.
Say after those 15 and 16 seasons, which were borderline maddening to Auburn fans.
Oh yeah, I've blocked those out of my mind.
And you can't let him come into your office and say I'm going to Arkansas unless there's the door, pal. Take the train.
Mm. Wow.
Or do your job, and we'll talk after the season. And then what happens after he gets that massive contract and big buyout? L to Georgia. L in the bowl game to Central Florida, who then crowned themselves national championships on your back. Good job. Good job, admin.
You remember where Bielema ended up going? Do you remember where he was coaching at?
He was up in Illinois?
No, that's what I'll say. It was Illinois.
Yeah. He's actually done a decent job for them.
I mean, I liked the hire when they made it. That was a perfect hire for them. You talk about low expectations. It's Illinois football. Come on now.
You get a bowl game. It's yeah. I mean, that's even an even lower Kentucky model. I think I'm going to start using that, the Kentucky model.
You and Christian talked about that the other day, right? The right. whole Stoops news. Yeah, I thought
yeah,
you did.
About,
that was crazy.
About how Kentucky's going on probation.
Yeah.
I mean, what in the world was that all about?
Yeah, yeah, I think Christian made the comment, like, the NCAA's got their ducks in a row going after Kentucky football.
I mean,
good
does Kentucky not know you just hire lawyers, cry racism, and threaten to sue, and you can get out of just about anything?
Oh, man. I mean, of all programs to go after.
The Kentucky football program.
Kentucky football. Football.
Everyone's really terrified of you now, NCAA. Wink, wink. Nod, nod.
Yeah. Some of the other coaches that were floating around for the Auburn or the Arkansas job that year, because I've gone down this rabbit hole now. You mentioned Norvell when he was at Memphis. Remember Chad Morris at SMU?
That name came back around.
Yep. Kevin Sumlin when he was at Texas A&M. That was an intriguing one that was people were starting to float around. And then Mike Leach when he was still out at Washington State before he came down to Mississippi State.
That would have been a good hire by Arkansas.
That would have been a great hire.
I can remember going even further down the memory hole when Tommy Tuberville left Auburn, or Auburn left Tommy Tuberville, however you look at it, whatever, it went down. He was no longer going to be the coach, and the job was kind of up for grabs at the time with Gene Chizik and Turner Gill, and our good friend Lonnie from Lochapoca calling me one night adamant that we were trying to hire the wrong African-American football coach. And I was like, all right, Lonnie, well, then who should we be hiring? Turner Gill's a pretty good hire if we get him. And he named Kevin Sumlin, who was at Houston at the time. And that would have been a good hire for Auburn at the time, but it seemed like Kevin ended up having a few too many demons to manage over the long haul. But he was electric as a head coach for a couple of years, from about 08 to about 14.
Yeah, but then he got to Texas A&M and just he did Texas A&M things. He underachieved.
In 2012 they were really good.
Well, yeah, they had also a maniac running around at quarterback.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean, you know, it's a little bit, would they have been that good without Johnny Manziel?
No.
Obviously not, but no. Somebody has to go find Johnny Manziel and put him in a position to play as well. They gave teams some fits. How in the world did they lose to Florida in 2012? I know we're way off subject. And Will Muschamp, who was getting ready to get the heave-ho, because if they don't lose that game, A&M goes to the SEC championship and then on to the national championship against Notre Dame and blows them out, and Alabama doesn't get it.
Who knew that we were going to go down this rabbit hole? Kevin Sumlin, before we get to break, his A&M record was 51-26. He never had a losing season, but he only won more than 9 games the one time.
Yeah.
And that's why they fired him.
Well, Johnny Manziel went off the deep end. You know, he was such a talent. He was so electric.
Have you seen that documentary?
Absolutely, I have.
It's
just
so
crazy
good.
Cakes.
Yeah.
And his dad was cashing in on him, and they had major issues, and that continued. That guy, for a hot minute, made people forget about Cam Newton.
Yeah. I mean,
just a hot minute.
He was the next electric thing since Cam in 2010. Then you had Johnny Manziel that walked in and was just doing ridiculous things, jumping over linebackers against Duke in the bowl game and scrambling against Nick Saban's Alabama defense. And, I mean, he was doing wild things.
Not many quarterbacks after 08 or from 08 on went into Tuscaloosa and took care of business, and he was one of them.
Man, yeah, he was pretty crazy, ain't no doubt. Well, how we got on this conversation, just to remind everybody, ESPN has listed Auburn as not an underachiever yet, but they're on the brink of it.
Well, I mean, when you hire Brian Harsin, that's the kind of list you're going to get on. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not unfair to say. It's not unfair what ESPN said. What if Auburn had hired Hugh Freeze 3 years ago when they hired Brian Harsin, or 4 years ago, I guess now, time's flying.
Mm.
How much better shape we'd be in. So it's not unfair to say that. I mean, Auburn has completely underachieved, Jacob, for a long time.
But the team that's on the list with them is Tennessee, a team that hasn't won a conference title since 1998.
I'm with you. That I don't get.
Tennessee has underachieved. They are an underachiever.
I think you'd have to put somebody like USC in there with Auburn.
They're in the tier at the top of this article, and you can find it on ESPN.com. It's on ESPN+. USC's in that non-college football playoff tier. They're in there with like Penn State, Florida, teams that you would have bet when the playoff started a decade ago that those teams would have made an appearance. But
I don't
see
why Auburn's not in there.
I think you can make that
argument. I mean, when that started a decade ago, I mean, Auburn had been to two BCS national championships just the 3 years previous in 2010 and 13.
And had 2 years in 17 and 19 where they were flirting with the getting.
Absolutely. In 17 were very close. And not to mention in 14, had they not gone off the rails, could have done some damage as well. So
yeah, you're right.
Auburn's been a really good program up until about 2020. COVID. That should be which programs did COVID decimate? There's Auburn.
Yeah, you can make an argument for a lot of different programs. We got to get to break. We're going to get to the phone lines when we come back as well. 334-321-1390. Stick around. You're listening to the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get back to the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line. What's up, my man?
Hey, War Eagle guys. How are y'all?
Good to hear from you. We're good, man.
Good. So, like I said, the season's getting close, so I figured I'd start becoming a caller again. I try to stop annoying you for 3 months. But
oh, you're not annoying us, man. I'm glad to have you back, Andy. Welcome back, baby.
I've been listening to y'all. I just didn't want y'all to listen to me. But let's not blame it on COVID. Let's call it what it is. And just firing a good coach that I was screaming about. And he needed to be fired, but just not then and not there and not at that price. But
I agree with that.
I think we're in the right direction finally. People just got to stop trying to make us Alabama and Auburn. We're more like an Arkansas or Tennessee or like the other majority of schools, you know, whether
sure.
that's because of the funding or the people in charge of it and the powers that be. You know, we just got to stop trying to be a 10 when we're an 8, and 8's a lot better than a 4, and we even dropped down to a 4.
Well, so, I agree with that. Get to 8 first. Do these small – win these small battles like you're winning, which aren't small, in recruiting. Start taking back some ground and fortify and then move forward.
Yep. So, again, I don't want to be the woulda, shoulda, coulda, but if we're going to blame COVID.
That's a full coincidence.
I know. I'm over here at this RV park over there where that water park used to be. You guys ever go out there to the when it used to be a water park?
I have not.
Even like in 2005 when there was a water park with slides and wave pool?
I was not around this town in 2005, unfortunately.
Well, for anyone listening, that was a great thing, and it was really sad when it went away. And I guess you have to buy an RV to do it, but we finally did because we knew it was down there. And it's not a wave pool, but it's just a huge pool. They turn off the waves, but
nice.
And the kids are loving it. So
okay, well, hey, it's hot enough
place,
for it. There's no doubt.
Yep.
Sales team, if you're listening, you might want to go out there and make a contact.
Yeah. Hey, see if you can get them
do
all
a little advertising.
Over there,
you got it.
Might
man.
Get a little referral.
Y'all gonna be out any Fridays?
To be determined. Stay tuned, my man.
Yeah,
stay tuned.
I'd keep an eye, Andy, especially on the Friday before the California game.
To give too much away, but
I'd kind of go ahead and circle that one.
Perfect. Do we know where, or we don't want to give details?
No, can't give you too
early,
much.
But it'll be a little watering hole we might have been at before where you met us.
Stay tuned. Gotcha. And lastly, I'm so excited to talk to y'all. I probably forget this last one, but I think I forgot it. So, anyways, War Eagle and I know what I was gonna say. I was playing NCAA football the other day, and this guy was Arkansas, so I felt pretty comfortable about it. I was Auburn, of course, and he went into coach mode, so I knew he was changing some players around. He came out with this quarterback that ran all over me, this receiver that had 97 speed. So, hopefully, the real coach don't play those guys because he demolished me.
I know Arkansas got a transfer quarterback in. Let me look up where he was.
I don't know the receiver,
him.
But
yeah.
The receiver had a 97 speed. Usually if you have 97 speed, the guy doesn't have hands. So I don't know how he is catch. I think this guy was good. He was. But one last thing.
Yeah.
I didn't want to bother you for 2 months. I know you saw Office Space. Oh, wait. You saw the other one.
I saw
Old School.
Old School.
So you've not seen Office Space yet?
No, not yet. But Old School was fantastic. Old School was, well, it was that, very, very fun.
That should give you an inclination of how good Office Space has got to be.
I know. I gotta get on it, man. I got to get on it.
Okay. Well, I gave you all summer, so maybe you guys are going to get, you guys ever get a bar mat shot before?
A what?
A bar mat where they take the mat that they make all the drinks on.
No, I've seen too many. I mean, I've seen plenty of videos of that. I never in my life would I ever consider doing that. That is disgusting.
That must be a rugby thing. All right, man. I'll see y'all later.
Thanks so much, Andy. Good to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. Now, that's how you gain some type of a disease, man.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is, thank goodness.
You
Arkansas for Andy does have a transfer quarterback in. I forgot his name. Talen Green. He came from Boise.
Yep.
You know, he'll make some plays in a Bobby Petrino offense. I know that they needed to hit the transfer portal probably about as hard as anybody, had some wholesale changes.
I don't remember where I ranked him in our.
I just don't see. I think I had him close to the bottom.
I did too,
I'd have to get my
list
back, but I just can't see Arkansas at all being a much of a threat. I'm sorry, you know. And listen, I'm going to kind of pivot that into the USA Today top 25 that dropped, and they have Texas A&M at 20. That's the coaches poll. I
saw that.
It's another team right now. I'm just scratching my head at, like, you know, it's the SEC, and on any given weekend, just about anybody can give somebody a run for their money. I mean, look at what Arkansas did to Alabama last year, and look in Tuscaloosa, and look at what we did to Arkansas, right? Anything can happen on any given Saturday.
Sure.
I'm not worried about Arkansas on paper. And for some reason, I'm just continuing not to be worried about Texas A&M. I just do not see that number 20 ranking. I cannot believe it.
Arkansas is not going to be good. And the reason I know that is, A, the roster, but B, my Arkansas buddies are telling me that.
Right.
A&M is such a wild card and such a question mark for me. And thankfully, Auburn does not play them. Well, I don't know if this is thankfully or not, but Auburn doesn't play them until November. And so the way that I'm looking at it, Uncle T, is I'm not going to dive in and make a huge assessment about Texas A&M until I see a little bit, until I get a little bit of information, because it's 2.5 months into the season before Auburn's going to see them.
I mean, I know you trust Connor Wegman as a quarterback more than I do.
I do.
But he's just so injury prone. I just don't see him. If he's around in November, and I'm going to have to take a little bit closer look at their schedule, but if he's around in November, we play Texas A&M at home the weekend before the Iron Bowl, he will be banged up a little bit.
Probably.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if Auburn's not a very tough out like LSU and Brian Kelly's first season by the end of the season, I'm going to be a little disappointed.
Oh, you're saying you want Auburn to be...
Auburn should be nasty by the end of this season.
Okay.
And that's backing up what you're saying. They're going to catch Texas A&M at a good time.
They're going to catch them at a really good time. And until I see something with them on the field, I just don't know. I don't know what to expect in year one with Mike Elko. So,
well, you're going to find out really quick in week one when they host Notre Dame.
Yeah, and going on the road to Florida week three, that'll do it. That'll do it. Hey, speaking of which, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. We'll talk all things Auburn athletics with him when we come back.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goetz. Alongside me in the studio is Uncle T-Bone. He's with me on Mondays and Fridays. And who's always with us on Monday is Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network, calling in on the road. So even when he's not in town, he's willing to be with us on the Monday edition of the show. My man, it's great to hear from you. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing well, Jacob. It's game month. So
Yes. Obviously
got to make sure I get on the line, talk a little Auburn football and everything else that's going on in the Auburn sports world. So happy to be on.
Well, we're 26 days away from the start of Auburn football. Fall camp has gotten underway, and, you know, it's early on still. There's still a lot to be learned and a lot to figure out with this team. But have you seen or heard any of the big storylines and kind of what you've heard early on from fall camp for Auburn?
Yeah, I've been keeping track a little bit, obviously. As you said, I'm on the road. I'm coming back from a quick vacation. But, you know, from what I've seen overall, it's a lot of talk about some of these young guys as well as the defense that I've noticed that has been impressive. And these guys are competing really hard, getting ready for the season. Because like you said, it's just the start of fall camp, but it's game month. So you've got to be locked in and ready to go as soon as August 31st rolls around. So it's been fun to keep track of, but I know that there's a long way to go as far as practices go. It'll be here before we know it, but we've still got 3 weeks of practices left.
All right, Jacob, go ahead and give us a couple of the names in camp that you're hearing, new names or old, that are making waves in practice early on this summer.
I'll give you a cheat code. Cam Coleman's on there. I go ahead and I'll get that one out of the way.
Right. That goes without saying, obviously. I think it was really interesting, the comments I saw earlier today from some of the DBs. And I think I mentioned last week or the week before that room is the one that I kind of want to keep an eye on as we get into the season, because of some of the guys you lost last year, Jalen Simpson, DJ James, Nehemiah Pritchett, and some others. So, obviously, Keontae Scott, Kane Lee, and some other guys that are coming back are going to be your leaders there. But I thought it was Kane Lee's comments as well as Champ Anthony's comments about those wide receivers that was very interesting. Keandre Lambert-Smith, he's going to be a big name. He's an experienced name that's going to lead the way for your Cam Coleman's, as well as the other name that seems like he's standing out in Perry Thompson. So those three guys, you know, they're the ones that a lot of talk has surrounded. And I think that if you have the veteran leadership from Keandre Lambert-Smith from Penn State, then it really just gives you a lot of confidence in those younger guys just to really step up and be ready for the moment when it's called upon them. So I'm excited to see how things look as far as the rotation goes in the wide receiver room on August 31st and beyond, because I really think that it could change throughout the season. But also, if these guys are looking this good early on, then it could stay consistent. And I think there's other guys on the defensive line. Obviously, Kieron Crawford, I think he's been impressive. He's a big physical presence that Jalen McLeod has praised. So those are some of the names that I've seen and heard, and I'm excited to see get on the field for the season.
Linebacker Austin Keys, one of the numerous guys in that linebacker room, a room that has depth for the first time maybe in our lifetime, Jacob. He was quoted today as saying, "It's very comfortable that it feels different. We set those standards and stuff to look up to. It definitely feels comfortable," and talking about the defense and with DJ Durkin's leadership. I think that's a really positive sign to hear that they've got those standards and they just are – seems like they're having a good time and they understand what the expectations are heading into this year with defense.
Absolutely. And I think that there are some obvious names that you know are going to be the key contributors on that defense. Eugene Asante, Austin Keys, Keontae Scott, Jalen McLeod, and maybe a few others that I'm failing to mention. But the point is that there are some spots that you want to see plugged in. Is Champ Anthony going to be that guy in the defensive backfield? Is Austin Keys going to be able to step up with the depth behind him and be that guy in the middle alongside Eugene Asante? And then obviously the defensive line, we talked about that throughout the summer and the spring and how we wanted to see some of those guys kind of step up. And because of that leadership, you have a lot more hope. It's similar to what I was mentioning about the wide receiver room. You have some hope and some confidence that Coach Durkin, Coach Charles Kelly, and everyone else can really have those guys step up and be ready for the season.
All right, Jacob, let's play a little game of true or false and tell us why.
Okay.
The Oklahoma game in week 5 is make or break game for Auburn this season.
I'm going to say false. I think that it depends on what you mean as in make or break. As far as making the college football playoff, I think that could be true. But I also think that you're not necessarily you don't have to make the college football playoff this year. I think there's a very possible way that Auburn goes 9-3 and is that first or second team first team left out. So I think if you lose that Oklahoma game, then you still have a chance to be 6-2 going into November. And obviously, if you're 6-2 going into November, you have a good chance at going into the playoffs. So I'll say false, but you know, if you're 5-0 going into October, then you are looking at the stars and shooting for them.
Well, there's no doubt that winning that Oklahoma game, though, has it just propels you into that month of October, where, as we've said numerous times, Auburn does not play a home game in October, three road games in the bye week, and then you come back home for Vandy, one of your non-conference games, Texas A&M, and then you go on the road to Alabama. Could you say that the Oklahoma game is a make or break for a 9-win season, though? Does that have to be a win for Auburn to get to 9?
That's a tough question, because I think that obviously you look at the Georgia and Alabama games and you kind of want to you're not going to predict those to be wins. And then you look at the other two road games in Missouri and Kentucky. I think Auburn can go to Lexington and beat Kentucky, but Missouri is obviously going to be a very good team this year. They're projected to win 10, maybe 11 games, especially depending on the schedule. So can Auburn go in there at an 11 a.m. kickoff and upset those Tigers? Maybe that could be that vaulting point for this coaching staff, for this program, in Coach Freeze's second season. So I it could be, and I'll say false, because I do think that Auburn could go to Missouri and win that game. I just think an 11 a.m. kickoff coming off of a bye week, that's a prime opportunity for Auburn to pull off an upset against Missouri. So I'll say false because of that.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us on the phone lines, as he does each and every Monday at 3:30 here on ESPN 106.7. Getting over to the recruiting side of things, I know you saw this weekend, even though you were swinging at the little white ball for a little bit. Jared Smith has committed to play for Auburn. The Thompson Edge, the five-star, is joining the Tigers recruiting class for now, right? We're still waiting on everything to become official with pen to paper come December, but Auburn picks up another Alabama commit, and being a Birmingham guy yourself, you know how big it is for them to go up to Thompson and get one of the best players in the state.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest trend that we've talked about over the last month or so. And Coach Freeze and the staff has obviously placed a big focus on the state of Alabama and the talent here. And a lot of it is defensive talent. I think that's a very key part of it, is that these are very talented defenders, and obviously just being able to do that and kind of dominate in-state in that way is big time. And like you mentioned, Thompson is a school that has pumped out a lot of talent over the last several years and has won a lot of state championships and done everything you possibly could have. You look at the facilities that they have, and it looks like a small college program, a small Division I college program.
You're right about that.
These guys are probably ready for college ball, and I do think that it really is important to recruit in state the way that the coaching staff is, and obviously being this successful is really impressive, and I hope it continues. That really looking forward to December. Obviously, I don't want to wish away the season or anything, but that signing class for 2025 is shaping out to be something very special.
Jacob, moving over to basketball and all the news that's been breaking about the schedule and what a schedule it is heading into the this 2024-25 season. The ESPN way too early poll dropped today. Auburn at 11, too high, too low, or just right?
I think that's just about right. I think you could argue Auburn sneaking in the top 10 right there, sitting at 8, 9, or 10. And I think that 11's fine as well. I don't think Auburn's outside the top 15, so that sits about right with me. I think with the returning talent, like an All-American in Janai Broome and then Chad Baker Mazzara, Denver Jones for his second year, the veterans at Chris Moore and Dylan Cardwell, and then obviously the newcomers at Dahad Pettifer, Ja'Kai Howard, and then the transfers in J.P. Pegues, Miles Kelly. You're going to be you're going to be highly ranked. And obviously it's not a top five ranking or anything like that, but that's a perfect spot to be. I love sitting in that top 15 spot, just outside of the top 10. You're getting the shine that you should, but you still got something to prove. So I really like that number 11 position for Auburn.
It was also announced that Auburn added Ohio State to the non-conference schedule. They'll be in the Holiday Hoops Giving once again. Hillman, out of all the non-conference games that Auburn has this year, we were talking about this earlier. Would love to get your opinion on this. Which one are you most looking forward to? Is it the road game at Duke? Is it the Purdue game, the Houston game, the Maui that Auburn's in, the Ohio State game in Atlanta? Which one are you most looking forward to, and why?
I think there's an easy answer to this, because obviously going to Cameron Indoor Stadium and playing against Duke, Cooper Flagg being the number one overall recruit going to play for the Blue Devils, that's a big deal. That is going to be the premier game of that day, of probably December, in college basketball, with it being a top 10 matchup, very likely being. Then I think that's the easy answer. But I'm going to look the week before and look at Maui. And honestly, any of those potential matchups with Iowa State, who's projected to be very good this season, the defending champions in UConn, Michigan State's there. And I think there's one more powerhouse in that tournament that I'm forgetting about. But any of those potential matchups, I think, can really elevate Auburn to that next level of being a top five team this season. And we kind of saw it a little bit in the 2018 to 2019 season, when Auburn went to the Final Four. Obviously, Auburn wasn't really a ranked team throughout that season. January, there was a bit of a rut, and then you had the end of February before Auburn went on that crazy run. But I think what you saw in Maui really was the proof of concept of what Auburn could do in March. So Maui's the one I'm excited for, and I think that any of those potential matchups, especially if you're going up against the defending national champions, the two-time defending national champion in UConn, or even a Michigan State team that has Tom Izzo as the head coach, or a team like Iowa State that everyone is hyping up, then those are some of those games that can propel you forward.
And I believe the other big team you were looking for is North Carolina, that is in that Maui Invitational. But don't overlook the Dayton Flyers now. That's our team here at this show.
Iowa State right coming in at seventh ranked in that preseason poll.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good teams out there.
On top of Memphis and Colorado that are there too. So there's plenty.
Yeah, it truly is one of those weeks where it doesn't matter who Auburn gets in that tournament. I think that those matchups are just ultra important, and it can really prove something. And that's wild to say, when you start the season, your second game of the year is going to be against Houston. You're going to go and play against Purdue and Birmingham. And then we mentioned the Ohio State matchup as well. I think John Rothstein said it earlier on Twitter today, that this is the best non-conference schedule that Auburn's ever seen in basketball. And I think it's true. It is wild to see this, and I love what Coach Pearl's doing with it. And I think it also shows how confident he is in this team, that he's ready to go on the road that first week of the season, play at Houston, and then obviously play all these other tough matchups.
Well, as excited as we are for college basketball, it's going to have to take a backseat, because college football is this month. Auburn starts in 26 days. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, man, as always, we look forward to this conversation each and every week, and we're excited to have you back on for another year. Tell people where they can find you and everything they need to know for Kickoff on the Plains that comes up in 26 days.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU, as well as the Auburn Sports Network at AU Sports Network. Talking Tigers podcast with Andy Burcham. It's back up last week, a conversation with John Cohen. And this week, it's Jason Campbell. 20 years since that 2004 undefeated season.
Wow.
And SEC champions. Should have been the national championship, but that's another conversation for another day. And obviously, I'm sure Andy and Jason touched on that in the podcast. So go and take a listen to that. But yeah, Kickoff on the plane. Tickets are on sale at aubtix.com. But also, Auburn soccer, Auburn volleyball, those will be getting underway Still waiting on that full Auburn volleyball schedule, but Auburn soccer, its regular season opener is against Clemson on August 15th at the Auburn Soccer Complex. So be on the lookout for more information on that coming out in the coming days. AuburnTigers.com, at Auburn Tigers on Twitter, as well as respective sports accounts.
Fantastic. Man, safe travels back home, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
I appreciate you guys. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network on his way back from a little trip as well. Everybody getting back and getting ready to get after it, Uncle T-Bone. And it's that time of year. Football is upon us. The fall sports are upon us, and so I'm looking forward to that. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Been a great show, man. It's always good to get back in the studio, even after a couple of days off. And it's been a really fun show today on this Monday. And if you missed any of it, you can go and listen to the podcast at ESPNAU.com. We had Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. We've talked basketball. We've talked football. We've talked recruiting. We've gone down rabbit holes today. We've done all sorts of stuff on this show. And so, again, if you missed any of it, go and catch up with the pod after the show at ESPNAU.com. And just a reminder, now that it's getting into football season, the schedule, the guest schedule is going to pick up even more. I mean, it's about to be wild, and we're going to have a lot of fun, and it's going to be a combination in here, and we're going to have a good time. And so we really do appreciate you all, and I know that it's getting into that time of year where we got more people tuning back in and getting back into the routine and the rhythm of football season. And look, Auburn University is 26 days away, and Auburn High, Lee Scott, is even less than that. I mean, the 23rd is when those teams get rolling. I mean, schools are back in this week, right?
Yeah, Auburn City School starts back on Thursday, so make sure if you're out there riding around early in the morning, especially watch out for the kiddos and for the school buses. You know that first couple of weeks, the traffic's going to be wild.
The university's going to be going back in.
Just take a deep breath and go a little bit slower. But, you know, Auburn's such a bustling city now. It's not like during the summertime it completely dies off like it used to. So just be aware. School's about to start back. And with it, though, is college football and high school football. I know we're really excited. It's going to be a crazy fall, and I'm just really I'm pumped up that I'll be here through this whole fall, this go-around.
I know we got very limited time before the music kicks us out of here. How about our boy Scotty Scheffler this weekend?
Yeah, that was my best
that?
Of.
That was my best for sure. No doubt about it.
I really don't want to talk about my worst of because I think it'll fire people up, so I'll just let it go. But I don't think men should be boxing women.
How about Suni Lee in the Olympics? She did fantastic as well. She was very well decorated, her and Simone Biles.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun Olympics to watch. Boy, John Rahm took some gas yesterday.
I'm telling you, man.
Man, he had the yips. But I'm not – who are I to cast stones? But some of those putts, golly, he didn't even just – I mean, they were two-footers. Couldn't even hit those.
I know. But how about Scotty, man? I'm so happy for him. And I hate it for Xander. I do. I hate it for Xander, but I love it for Scotty. Well, I mean, who's playing better golf than him right now?
Other than Xander, no one. I mean, you know, after he got arrested at the PGA, he came out that Saturday and had a great round.
Yep.
And ever since then, he's kind of been on the struggle bus, it seemed like. I didn't know if he was going to be able to go. At some point, it looked like he'd hurt his back in the British Open. So, good for him to get out there and hang in there and come back and get that W, get that gold medal in golf. Boy, has the United States kicked some butt in golf worldwide this year or what?
I love it. I love it, man. I cannot wait for the Ryder Cup, what, next year, right? Ryder Cup next year? I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. Especially with how the Europeans just dominated the last time. And that was really highlighted in the latest Full Swing season on Netflix. So I'm looking forward to that. But you could see the emotion of Scottie Scheffler during the national anthem, holding his gold medal in tears, man. That's who you want representing your country overseas in the Olympics. Good for Scottie, gold medal winner.
Yeah, United
From
States.
From jail to gold, my man.
United States continues to lead in the full medals count. So congratulations to Scottie Scheffler and
everyone competing over there. It's been a fun Olympics to watch, and I was glad to see him win for sure.
You'll be back on Friday, Uncle T-Bone, so have a great week. Christian Griffin will be in the studio with me tomorrow. We'll go over tons of more news and topics here on the show, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.